Hello, everyone, and good morning. This is Lizzie and Justin at Third Space, and this is Turning Towards Life. Every week we gather here with you, with each other, and enter into our goodness knows what comes of it conversation. And we have a wonderful source each time. As you might know already, Justin and I alternate between who chooses the source to bring. And this week it's Justin who's brought this amazing piece by Lynn Ungar called Choice. And so we're going to get into that together. And in the meanwhile, I just want to say a very big thank you for this whole thing. How extraordinary and a project it is. Maybe it's not a project, maybe it's a path or something. But it is certainly one of the excellent staples of my life, and I feel very glad of it. So thank you.
I'm feeling very glad of it too this morning, Lizzie, and welcome everyone. I know that lots of you, some people will be with us live on a Sunday morning in our Facebook group, Sunday morning UK time, of course, because we know you're all over the world. And then many people are listening at other times in this time shifting way that podcasts make possible and YouTube makes possible and all of that. So welcome everyone. Yeah, I don't think it's a project, Lizzie. I think this is a practice and a path. Mm. And one of the things that makes it a practice is this morning, I've got some big commitments immediately after we finish. And in a previous life, I might have gone about us doing this morning, you know, I've got some big things to attend to later. Could we reschedule it? Could we do it another time? Could we? But actually everything else moves around this for me, which is how I know it's a proper practice, because it's woven into the fabric of my life in a way that deepens life because I do it, and also is deepened by my ongoing commitment to it, that we haven't missed one in 230 or so weeks. Anyway, all of that, it's the container for this big possibility. So I'm going to read our source for today. And if for anyone who's new to Turning Towards Life, you can find all the sources on our website, which is turningtowards.life. And you can find them in our Facebook group. And we always post them with the notes that go with all the podcasts and everything else. And this is called Choice by Lynn Ungar. There isn't a right answer. There just isn't. The game show where the bells ring and the points go up and the confetti falls because you got the answer is a lie. The preacher who would assure you of how to attain salvation is making it all up. The doctor who knows just how to fix what ails you will be sure of something else tomorrow. Every choice will wound someone, heal someone, build a wall and open a conversation. Things will always happen that you can't foresee, but you have to choose. It's all we have. That little rudder that we employ in the midst of all the eddies and rapids, the current that pulls us inexorably toward the sea. The fact that you're swept along by the river is no excuse. Watch where you're going. Lean in toward what you love. When in doubt, tell the truth.
Choice. There isn't a right answer. There just isn't. The game show where the bells ring and the points go up and the confetti falls because you got the answer is a lie. The preacher who would assure you of how to attain salvation is making it all up. The doctor who knows just how to fix what ails you will be sure of something else tomorrow. Every choice will wound someone, heal someone, build a wall and open a conversation. Things will always happen that you can't foresee. But you have to choose. It's all we have, that little rudder that we employ in the midst of all the eddies and rapids, the current that pulls us inexorably towards the sea. The fact that you are swept along by the river is no excuse. Watch where you are going. Lean in toward what you love. When in doubt, tell the truth.
It was wonderful hearing you read that. And the thing that happened for me in hearing you read it that I hadn't anticipated until hearing, because I've read this poem many times, is getting reminded of a conversation that I had many years ago with someone who said to me, it's time that you stopped trying to game life. Like life was a game that it was possible to win by getting things right. And that if you did the right things would happen. And whatever it was, I would feel safe. I would get known in particular ways. I would get loved, all of those things. So I love that this, sometimes when we read a source, Lizzie, I find myself drawn to what's right in the middle. And there is something right in the middle of this one that's really extraordinary. But right now it's what's at the beginning and the end. The game show where the bells ring and the points go up and the confetti falls because you got the answer is a lie. So watch where you're going. Lean in toward what you love. And here's the line that reached me so deeply this morning. When in doubt, tell the truth. Telling the truth when we're lost, when we have no idea what to do, when we know that whatever we do, we're going to build a wall and wound someone and heal someone and open something. To commit ourselves to leaning into what we love and to tell the truth seems to me shifts the whole orientation of life from trying to get what I want out of life to who am I going to be in this life? What kind of person am I going to be? And I find that so liberating for all the parts of me that want to perform or imagine that one day it will all be sorted and then I can rest or something. To have them settle and to go, that is never going to happen because life doesn't go that way. We are being pulled inexorably towards the sea. Nothing will change that. But how we flow with the flow, how we take up our place in the flow, rather than what we get out of the flow, is a complete shift in what we could pay attention to and what we could take responsibility for and what could get born in us and between us.
Oh, I can feel the kind of profound shift in orientation happening in me when you said, what kind of person do I want to be rather than what do I want to get out of life? And how it seems to me the question, what kind of person do I want to be, is a different order of question. And when something's a different order of question, it kind of delivers on the order of question that's a little less meaty or something. So what I want out of life seems quite a thin question now in comparison to what's the kind of person that I want to be. But I'm feeling this faithfulness of if I answer the question each day of what kind of a person do I want to be and then find my way with that question leading me, what we might receive from life or what might happen probably might take care of itself. Like it seems like a, like if I focus on what kind of person do I want to be, if I make that kind of central question of my day, I wonder how much would just take care of itself that I didn't have to worry about so much. Because that central piece of what kind of person do I want to be takes care of the way I'm in relationship with one another. It allows people to be in relationship with me in a real kind of way. It seems like it extends me into the world rather than being focused on myself. So therefore the deep need in me to be in kind of community and relationship and be part of something gets really met. So I'm feeling this real invitation to a different order of question. Like there is an inevitability about life unfolding, and the way I participate in that unfolding gets to be shifted by the kind of questions I'm asking myself. So if I am being drawn towards the sea, the kind of leaning in toward what I love that Lynn Ungar is inviting us into, leaning into what I love on the way, is going to be an influence on what kind of journey I have towards the sea, because that's happening anyway. And so it's also moving me, Justin, because it's kind of taking away this whole, like, what direction shall I take question. It's taking out the kind of pressure of decision making. So I think, yes, and, you know, this is what Lynn's saying as well, I think, we do have to make decisions, but if they are based around the central question of what kind of person do I want to be, it's a very different situation than this, you know, how do I make the right decision? And so it kind of circumvents the dilemma, because I think it's a big question, but it's also a possible question to answer of who do I want to be, because that's within my power to make that choice with each conversation, with each intention I draw, with each day I wake up. I could, those decisions I can make, whereas the decisions that feel much bigger, when they come, maybe they're much easier to take care of if I'm attending to this as a practice, if you like, if I'm attending to this regularly, I'll know myself in quite a different way. And then making decisions of the order that's required of us in life, maybe those decisions become less anxiety ridden because we've done something deeper on the inside on a daily basis that helps us in those situations.
Mm. There's something in the way that you're talking about, Lizzie, that's, I could feel as you were speaking that you're drawing attention to two things at once. So one is the inevitability of having to make decisions. So there is a way of coming at the life of choosing that goes, well, we're all being drawn to the sea anyway. We know what the outcome of our lives is. I'll just absent myself from my life. I won't pay attention to any choices that I make because I know that they're never going to work out exactly the way I wanted. So let me sort of bypass all of that life and to step out of the life that we're in the middle of living. But the life that we're in the middle of living means choosing, because to choose is to take care. So choose between this and that, to prioritize this and that, to choose one path over another. So it can't be that the two strategies that are so easy to get into, I think, when we're afraid, I think the really afraid parts of us are either I have to game life and the point of my life is to get an outcome, the outcome, the one, maybe the one that I've been promised by the game show hosts or the preachers or the, you know, whatever it is. And the other one is to kind of freeze in life and to try to step out of the flow of making choices. And neither of those are going to be a way to live. And at the same time, so much of what happens from our choices is just not up to us. Mm-hmm. You'd have to be God, and not just God, but a sort of all-powerful, all-knowing kind of God, to be a person who could make choices which wouldn't simultaneously wound someone, heal someone, build a wall, and open a conversation.
Yeah.
And that would get you the confetti and the bells ringing and the points and the... You'd have to be. Mm. And I think maybe because something in us feels like we ought to be in control in that way, gets us into this trickiness about the point of my life is to win in some way. And if I'm not winning in that way, I must be losing. And then I've got to try even harder to win. And so like you said, asking ourselves who we want to be in each moment is always available to us.
Mm.
It's always available. So right now in this moment, I can ask myself not how do I look good or how do I impress you or how do, any of those things. I can ask myself, what kind of person do I want to be here?
Mm.
And I want to be attentive and open and responsive and creative and sensitive and loving and truthful.
Yeah.
I can pay attention to that. And that, like you said, then shapes the kinds of choices I'll make, not because of, not only because of what they'll produce. Of course, I care about what they might produce, but also because of who I become. And it struck me a little bit. I don't know if this will make sense as a way of talking about it, but the way of the way of the gaming life makes all of our life about the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
The outcomes matter. That people mm-hmm. are well cared for matter. That we have access to food and resources that we love matter. But if I make my life about the outcome, then I'll lose myself along the way because I may well become far from the person that I want to be.
Mm.
I may become twisted and small and constricted and fragmented because of all the ways I'm trying to keep control of things.
Mm.
So it's exactly the upside down way really to be in life, but somehow it's the one that we've so often talked about. Our wider culture really prizes the question of how do you get what you want and marginalizes the question of what kind of person do you want to be. It's not a central question.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We don't ask it of our children in schools. We don't ask it of ourselves in work. I'm not saying nobody does, of course we do, but it's not sort of the soup that we swim in.
Mm-hmm.
What a relief to have Linunga saying, we're all going to be pulled towards the sea, so watch where you're going and lean in towards what you love.
Mm. And also, you just said the word relief. I was just feeling the relief of, if there isn't a right answer, then I don't have to find it. So I can make choices in a kind of, well, there's no right way. So it kind of lightens the burden of making a choice as well. So if I just took the world to be a place where the right way doesn't exist, maybe it makes making choices a different kind of thing, where I can make a choice and it's not in the paradigm of right and wrong. So even when I get to the outcome of a choice that I made, it's not like I'm in that way of thinking that this was the right choice or the wrong choice. It was a choice that I made. My central question is still being answered of who do I want to be? Then the outcome it's not such a big deal. So whether I, you know, win or lose. I mean, I don't even know how to gauge whether I win or lose because I don't know. I don't know, even in the asking of it, Justin, as you say it, I'm like, I don't even know what winning would look like, actually. But I totally get the kind of the thought that I could win. I don't think I've ever won, if you know what I mean. Like when I look back of like, I'm not sure that's ever, even if that was my intention to win, I'm not sure I ever won, even when I probably did win. You know, it's like, it seems very kind of, like when you arrive at a winning that you thought was a win, there's more of life anyway. So, you know, it doesn't end with an outcome. That's the other thing, is that these choices that produce outcomes seem to me that even when you get to the outcome that you wanted, life also then goes on. It doesn't stop. It doesn't feel complete or something. It's like, oh, well, we're here again. You know, it's like there's a series of these things in life rather than a arrival point where you think, you know, I think I've probably spoken about this before, but I remember passing my driving test and thinking, when I do that, my life is going to be so excellent. I'm going to be able to go where I want. And of course, it's just like me in my car, not really knowing where to go. My life didn't become the thing I thought it was going to become. And I think that's true of every kind of milestone, something that I've made, you know, I made a choice to learn to drive. I made a choice to go and live in a different place in the world. I made a choice to go where I went and be with who I was with. And nothing ever cracked up to be the outcome of the choice that I fantasized about or that I thought it would bring about. I remember cutting all my hair off once, thinking, oh, it would make my life different and I'd be a different person and I will be a person with short hair. And therefore, and I just think, you know, I look back and think, my goodness, I really needed to kind of become a little more substantial, you know, in myself, because I really kind of felt like those illusory things were real and that they would make a difference. And of course, it's taken like hundreds of those to prove to me that it's wherever I arrive, wherever I feel like an outcome got made, I will just be me there. So I feel like when you ask the question of, you know, who do I want to be, if I've been answering that all along, then wherever I arrive, there I will be. And knowing who I am to some degree and what I want to be like in the world and how I want to treat people and what kind of person I want to be, and have been cultivating that to arrive somewhere will make it a wholesome experience rather than a kind of thin letdown of, oh, well, here I am, but I haven't really turned into myself or unfolded into myself in ways that even allow me to receive this actually. So then all the kind of decision making becomes a kind of strange, fruitless, thin experience. Anyway.
Gosh, the way that you've just been talking about it really showed me something, which is the question about who am I called to be? What kind of person do I want to be and what choices do I want to make in the light of that? The choices also make us who we want to be. It's not like it's separate. How I choose is that both an expression of who I want to be and it is also how I become who I want to be.
Yeah.
And that is the one thing that is always true at every moment in our lives. That question never goes away. So if you pass your driving test or you marry someone or you live in a new house or you lose your job or you get a job or you make a lot of money or you run out of money or whatever it is. Each of those, from the point of view of there being a right answer, looks like it's a kind of an end point or a disaster point or a something. Mm-hmm. And with the ones that look like they're sort of success endpoints, like you said, we get to them and we realize it doesn't resolve the question about who am I going to be? Because now I'm in this new situation. I can drive a car. I'm in a relationship. I'm become a parent. I'm whatever it is. I'm now still called on this question about how to choose and who to be. It's never resolved, even though we imagine it might be resolved. And which shows to me that it's the primary question, because it's true in every one of those situations. Whatever we find ourselves in the midst of, we are becoming. You used the word unfolding before, and it seems to me that unfolding is exactly what happens for us. And it's not like we unfold like a piece of paper with something already written on it, and you unfold it, and oh, there it is. It's that it's unfolding like I know, like the flow of a stream unfolds into the stream and you can't tell exactly what's coming next. It's being made as it goes. So we make ourselves as we go in that way, as well as being made by the world. And it's the myth that we might somehow avoid that is also partly what gets into the mm-hmm. gets us into the difficulty, as a sort of fantasy of completion. I'll be complete, as if it were possible ever to be complete, ever to be finished. Whilst we're alive. So I love that there is this line. It's a really fierce line, and it hits me every time I read this poem, in this Linnungus poem. The fact that you are swept along by the river, you are swept along by the river, is no excuse. Mm. We are never freed from the possibility and the dignity and the necessity of watching where we're pointing ourselves, watching where we're going.
Mm.
And then choosing, am I going to lean into what I love and tell the truth? Or am I going to throw my hands up and say, no, I had no choice, really. Well, we had no choice but to be the flow, and we had no choice but to be in the flow. I'm finding it so, I think one of the things that's happening, I know that one of the things that's happening for me as we're talking is feeling both the letting go of and the deepening of something. So when I'm faced with a moment of having to choose, straight after our conversation, I'm going and running an event for a new group of people who are coming together to lead something. And I could feel, as I've been preparing for it, the parts of me that go, I've got to get it right, I've got to say the right things, I've got to make sense in a particular way, and all of those kind of things. And none of them are really knowable. But if I stop and I settle myself and I ask the question, who do I want to be here? What do I want to stand in the middle of? What's really true, and how can I inhabit that? Then I've got no excuse. Then I have to make choices about what will I say and how will I say it, but they don't come from trying to get the confetti to fall.
No.
And everyone going, well, hey, what a brilliant thing. They come from wanting to take care and wanting to stand for values that matter to me. And they come from wanting to be a person who is that person. And then I get changed by doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, it feels to me like this beautiful invitation of an invitation out of victimhood at the same time as knowing that there are also forces that exist. Mm-hmm. It's like both things. So whilst I have this little rudder, it's also a little rudder. There are forces that are taking me, because that's the nature of life. But I can watch, and I can change my, you know, twiddle with the rudder to kind of bring myself into awareness of what my power is and what it isn't. Like, I will continue waking up every day and breathing and aging and heading towards not having a body anymore. Like, those things I can't, that's not within my rudder's control. But what is within my rudder's control is a really beautiful question. And to answer it through the who do I want to be, and have the rudder taken care of from that place, feels like a massive act of taking our life in our hands to the degree that we can. That this is my, also this is my life, not the life I'm supposed to live. You know, when you were talking about leaning into what we love and telling the truth about it as well, I know there are times in my life where I haven't told the truth about what I love, and I've done what I'm good at, for example. And that's a very different decision-making path, to do what I'm good at, where there's most chance of succeeding, versus what I love, where there's massive possibility of not. So I feel like this combination of leaning into what we love, taking responsibility for our lives, and telling the truth about what it is that we do love and who we do want to be. Those seems like just genuinely excellent, powerful questions that mean I can be in this river, in this stream, and be held, feel held by life itself, and also feel empowered and like I'm part of something else, and also at the center of my life at the same time. It's really beautiful. My gosh, I want to thank you, Justin, for this poem, bringing this particular thread and seam of this conversation. Really beautiful.
Mm. You're so welcome. Oh. I'm glad for it too. And I want to say thank you to everyone who's with us at this point, because I know that we don't do this conversation alone. It looks like it's between you and me, but it's not really. It exists in a field between many of us.
Mm.
And so as we end, a reminder to all of us that if you want to be in the conversation, one way to be in the conversation is to be in our Facebook group. If you're a person who uses Facebook, just look for Turning Towards Life and ask to join, and you can come in. But also you can email us, Lizzie or Justin or hello at turningtowards.life, and we'd love to hear from you. And it's time for us to end for today, but we'll be back, all being well, same time next week, when you're going to bring a source our way, Lizzie.
Yeah. Right, everybody, thanks for being
here. Thank you, everyone. Bye. Bye-bye.